Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Church on this Feast of the Resurrection. You know, every Sunday is a Feast of the Resurrection, but today is special. Do you know why? Because today is the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the vernal equinox. And that makes today Easter. So if a late night talk show host ever jumps out of a cab and asks you how to calculate the date for Easter, now you know. Today is also special because of the week we've just had here at St. Mark's. We've walked with Jesus from his triumphant entry into Jerusalem to the Last Supper with his friends, to his agony in the garden, to his betrayal and arrest and trial, to his crucifixion, to his burial in the tomb. We've been through the darkness of Good Friday. We've been to the foot of the cross. Now, the dawn breaks on Sunday morning, and once again, we set off, walking this time with the women and their spiced ointments. I doubt they slept much the last two nights, Mary Magdalene and the other women who rose early on the first day of the week to minister to their dead Lord. Every time they shut their eyes, I'm sure they saw the silhouette of Jesus' cross in the distance, his limp body barely recognizable because of his torturous hours hanging there. No, I doubt these women slept much. Though if they did finally fall into fitful slumber, it was because they cried themselves to sleep. When all you have left is tears, you'd want to hoard them, but that's when they flow all the more freely. I'm sure the tears began again when they awoke early Sunday morning. New grief is like that. Each morning you wake and remember again the love that your loved one is gone. And again the pain stabs you anew, just as fresh as the first time. They bear the rawness of their grief by taking on a mission. After all, staying busy is one way to soften the blow. And so the women take up their burden of fragrant spices and trudge out into the darkness in order to arrive at the tomb at first light. Out of deep troves of love and compassion, these brave women are ready to care for the body of their Lord and to prepare it for proper burial. It turns out, however, that Mary and her friends are making the happiest mistake in the history of mistakes. They are ready to wash and anoint a lifeless body. But what they find is no body at all. They find an empty tomb. For a horrible moment, their grief threatens to overwhelm them because the mission they were planning to perform, the one they had been clinging to since his death, is gone now too. They didn't think they could be more desolate, but they are wrong. For this horrible moment, the empty tomb magnifies their desolation. But into this scene of despair and grief comes the sudden presence of two gleaming messengers. They enlighten the women as to their happy mistake. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. And the messengers continue talking, but the women have ears only for that last word, arisen. For the first time since Friday, they remember Jesus' words. And first one, and then another breaks out into a tentative smile. Could it be true? They ask each other. Yes, 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 it could. Jesus never lied to us. How could we forget his words? Then one repeats the messenger's question, why are we looking for the living among the dead? This question echoes down through the centuries, and we find ourselves asking it when we read the beginning of this final chapter of Luke's account of the gospel. Why do you look for the living among the dead? How often in our day-to-day lives could we hear the gleaming messengers ask us this question? How often do we trudge down our well-worn paths to life-defeating things, hoping this time, maybe this time, something life-affirming will happen? Perhaps you've had a string of boyfriends who are real losers. Your friends tell you so at every opportunity, but you've got a blind spot for the proverbial bad boy. They treat you with no respect. From time to time, they've even called you a name that I can't say during this sermon. And yet you meet another one, and all the signs are there, but you dive in head first anyway. To you, the gleaming messengers say, why do you look for the living among the dead? Perhaps you've been sober for 3 months. Your sponsor hands you your chip and slaps you on the back. You've got a couple other 3-month chips in a drawer somewhere, but that's not on your mind right now. On your way home from the meeting, you run into an old buddy from back in the day, and the next morning, you stagger to the drawer and toss the newest chip in. Maybe you'll get another one in a few months' time. But for today, your salvation is at the bottom of a bottle. To you, the messengers say, why do you look for the living among the dead? Perhaps you work through your family vacation because you've got too many projects on your plate. Or you've given in to the tiny, fearful voice that says you're too old or too sick or too broken to make a difference in someone else's life. Or you spend every waking hour mindlessly surfing YouTube and Facebook and Instagram. Or every one of us has a few life-defeating paths that we have no trouble finding. To each of us, the messengers say, why do you look for the living among the dead? The resurrection of Jesus Christ spurred this question all those centuries ago. The women made the happy mistake of looking for a dead Messiah when the risen one was alive again. Our life-defeating paths lead to tombs as well, but they are not empty, for our dead Messiahs are there waiting to suck the life from us. But the tomb of the risen Lord is empty. And a new life-affirming path stretches from that tomb and reaches into eternity. Today, on this first Sunday after the first full moon, after the vernal equinox, on this special feast of the resurrection, we see most clearly this new life-affirming path stretching from our feet to the sun-drenched horizon. As we walk it together and with our risen Lord, we will pass by so many people going the opposite way down the life-defeating paths. This may be due to their own choices or because they are caught up in systems that will never produce anything but defeat. Systems of poverty, injustice, racism, apathy. But as we walk this life-affirming path, we have the opportunity to be apostles, like those brave women. We have the opportunity to show people the power of the risen Christ in our own lives, to hook arms with folks going the other way and help turn them around. We have the opportunity to be the gleaming messengers who ask one simple question: why do you look for the living among the dead? Then we have the glorious opportunity to share the heart of the good news. He is not here, but has arisen. Amen.